Three. Welcome back, everybody, to Ingles and Ian, a Cowboys Right for Free podcast on the heels of a 21-20 victory over Boise State. Ian, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh man, I'm feeling all right. I got a quarantine now. I'm in the quarantine den. I gotta go get go kick Uncle COVID's butt real quick. But you know, I'll be fine. You know, Lord willing. So I think I'll be fine. But I think maybe OSU Boise State caused symptoms for me just because of how stupid and ridiculous that game was. Just so many stupid things happened. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean that. Well, one, being on the East Coast, that thing didn't kick till 9 o'clock, and I'm old, so that's late. That's something I like. Do not like. I'm glad Oklahoma State didn't go to the Pac-12 because those would be like 10 or 11 o'clock kickoffs for me, and that would just awful. But so one thing I did not realize going into that game, which I wish I had of, is just how many wide receivers we had out. Like 4 or 5 scholarship wide receivers were hurt or sick or something. And so that helps explain why we only passed for like 83 yards, which is like only the third time that's happened in Gundy's entire career. And especially with the way like college football is, like if you don't throw for 300, you're not even throwing the ball anymore. Right?
13 total passes and only 6 were completed. Only one person had more than one completion. And that was Rashad Owens, and that was 2 catches for 34 yards. I was not anticipating that kind of game for Oklahoma State.
Well, I wasn't expecting that out of Boise either, because they're generally a pretty high-flying offense too. And like we talked about on Thursday, you know, they had put up over 300 yards a game and, you know, passing, and we managed to hold them to no scores in the second half. Granted, they did that to us too, but still, I mean, that was just ugly. But, you know, Warren, you know, sort of coming out party. Like, you saw flashes against Tulsa. He had some big runs against Tulsa. But, you know, was it second possession? He breaks that 75-yarder and was like, I'm here. I'm the number one running back now. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I think that 75-yard run kind of solidified Warren as the number one guy. And we saw in the, you know, the depth chart today – yeah, he's the number one guy. I know it said like or whatever, but top of the running back sheet, Jalen Warren. And he had, you know, those are kind of like Derrick Henry numbers in college where he has like 32 carries and 218 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's what he had. And he did really phenomenal. But that defense, man, that defense was something else. I was quite impressed with them. Only 61 rushing yards were allowed.
Yeah, they're 36 attempts. Knowles is the real deal. We're gonna have a hard time keeping him because, you know, he was the head coach at North Carolina, then he got fired, became the defensive coordinator here. But with the way his defense is playing, it's gonna be hard to keep him. Like, some team's gonna hire him to be their head coach again. He's got the experience, and it's obvious that he can really rein in some high powered offenses.
Jim Knowles. He was only a head coach at Cornell. He was a defensive coordinator at Duke.
Oh, Duke, that's right.
So he was a Duke for like 2010 to 2017, after he got fired from Cornell. But
I got to confuse somebody else. But yeah, he's legit. He knows what he's doing, and I don't know. You only give up that many yards to somebody, eventually they're going to start showing up. And especially with how good their defense has been the last couple of years, I mean, it's only a matter of time before somebody throws way too much money at them. I could see like an SEC team being like, hey, come be our defensive coordinator, we'll double your salary, you know?
Yeah.
It's just what they can do compared to like what some Big 12 schools can do.
Well, not only that, but OSU held Boise State to 0 points for 2.5 quarters. They did all their scoring in the first quarter and the second half of the second quarter.
Yeah.
It was amazing how much they stepped it up right then and there, because when it got down to, you know, 17-7 or 20-7, I was like, we might be in trouble here.
I thought we were about to get trucked man. Like, full on. Like, I thought we were like the beat down, the route was on. I was like, it felt way more than just being down 17, you know? Like, well, or third. No, it was only 13. Was like 20-7, right? So it was only 13 points, but it felt like
it was a
30.
Two possession game, and it felt like five.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable, and that's just I think that just shows you how much Oklahoma State fans don't have confidence in the offense. When Jalen Warren broke out, we're like, okay, wait a minute, okay, that's something.
Yeah, I mean, and that's weird for me, especially because you know for. Forever, this, you know, Oklahoma State's always been a really high flying team. They're just not anymore, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's personnel. Again, you know, on Saturday, I don't know if it was wide receivers being out, not being able to run full schemes. I mean, we had walk ons playing wide receiver on Saturday, and that's crazy, right? I mean, especially you know, we're wide receiver you for the most part. I mean, when it comes to like great wide receivers, it's hard to. Find a school that's put out more good ones in the last 15, 20 years, Dez and Blackman, Wallace and, you know, Stoner and Wolf and everybody else. So the fact that we had to go to a walk-on wide receivers, like that's insane to me, like having that many guys out.
What's crazy is that was the longest pass Sanders threw all game for 24 yards. Think about that for a sec. Spencer Sanders had more yards rushing than his longest passing throw.
Yeah, that is something. Like, he was the second leading rusher with, 30-ish yards?
26 yards, yeah.
Yeah.
And that just tells you how much they relied on Jalen Warren. When you look at the rest of the running backs,
yeah,
you look at the rushing totals, man. Jalen Warren, 32 carries. Spencer Sanders, 18, and he only put up 26 yards. And then you go down the rest of the list. Dominic Richardson, 2 carries, 4 yards. LD Brown, 4 carries, 2 yards. And then Presley, I think that was the jet sweep play that he got just socked.
Oh, that was a brutal hit. Absolutely brutal hit. Like,
and I mean, not only that, I've heard, boy, I think a lot of people complained about that fumble in the late in the game that could have been a touchdown. I think my only like complaint is like, well, the whistle was blown, so you can't. I think once the ball is, you know, ruled dead, right?
Right.
The play is ruled dead after the whistle's blown. So even if they could, they can't go back and call that a touchdown.
Right.
So that was just one of the rules, and Oklahoma State did get very fortunate with that, but. I think that they got a makeup call on the roughing the passer penalty on Brock Martin. So, therefore, I kind of think that evens out. Probably not to Boise State's liking, but I think the refs did. That was a makeup call.
You see what Gundy said about that today?
Yeah, he said it was a bad call.
He called the refs crooked. He didn't just call it a bad call. He said the refs were crooked. Like, if that were the NFL, he'd been fined already.
Oh, man. He might get fined on Tuesday, man. Well, those were Mountain West officials, weren't they?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, almost.
Does the Mountain West send like, hey, not cool, man. We're gonna fine you. And you have to pay the Mountain West refs. How does that work?
So I wanted to look it up. This is a good example of just how the offense has changed over the years and rather rapidly in 4 years, right? So far in 2.25 years, Spencer Sanders has 4,300 passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason Rudolph's last year, he had 4,900 in a year. So in 13 games, Rudolph has more passing yards than Sanders has in his career. Like, that's just how different it is. Granted, we didn't, you know, if we go full, I mean, even if we were to add all the rushing yards in, Spencer Sanders only has 5,300, roughly yards. So if you include his legs and his arm, his entire career is basically the same as Rudolph's last season. Like, that's how just different the offense is.
I think a lot of that is just the way they can use his mobility. And then I think it just tells you how big Mason Rudolph's arm is. Man's got a cannon. And Spencer, I mean, he doesn't really have that. But I mentioned last week that I don't think Oklahoma State can have 7 punts and beat Boise State. It's 7 punts again. So that's somehow the magic number, because I think Tom Hutton has had 7 punts in all 3 games this year. So I guess if we punt 8 times, the game's over. But apparently 7 is the magic number.
As somehow one of my friends would say, punting is winning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big for the brand guy and all that, but man, I mean, listen to this real quick. So in 2019 and 2020, I said 2019, 2020, Tom Hutton had 58 and 59 punts.
That's a lot of punts.
So he's already at 21 in 3 games. So for doing the math in my head, if he gets 7 punts for, what, 13 games this year, that's 91 punts. So that's almost like – that's just not doubling, but almost doubling the total.
That's crazy. Like, our defense is great. I mean, it is – I think it is top tier, you know, in the country, you know, top 20 in the country caliber defense. But you can't keep doing that to them. Like – You get the other offense that many attempts, you're going to they're eventually going to give up a lot of points just because they have the other team has so many opportunities. That's killer.
I just real quick, this is the second quarter, or from the second quarter on. So this is all the results of the second half drives. You ready for this?
Oh God, no! But let's do this.
punt, miss field goal. This is for both OSU and Boise State, by the way. Punt, 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 interception, fumble, missed field goal, end of game.
Just ugly. It is just ugly.
That was Big Ten football.
Man,
I'll tell you what, that missed field goal blocked by Jason Taylor. I couldn't have believed it. I'm like, they did not deserve to win this game. Like, that was so – no team really deserved to win this game. Like, it was just a bad game. It was a stupid game, I think, partially because it was, it was the Colby Harvell Peel interception that followed by just several fumble – a fumble and a missed field goal. I'm like, this game is chaos. There's no way that this should happen. And then the way that OSU stormed back in the second half – or in the second quarter, where it's like, okay, it's 21-20 – maybe this will be a shootout, and then no points are scored in the second half entirely. I just the way the game shifted from, you know, what could be a shootout to just a defensive battle was just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it was crazy, and at least the defense is good. That's all I can say is at least the defense is good, because we could easily be 0-3 right now. Easily,
I think that's
should have lost the opener. We were holding it with, I mean, Tulsa's holding it, but hey, they had a good showing against Ohio State, so I feel a little bit better about that Tulsa showing, because they fought them hard until the very end there. And then this game, you know, to lead by one for the entire second half and not give up any points, that's insane. Like, It's hard to hold somebody to no points in football, even if it's just, you know, a field goal. Yeah, that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought just throughout the game. It's like, okay, well, is there going to be some field goals? It's just mind blowing. And then I'm going to tell you this. I know we're going to preview Kansas State in the next episode, but I think we're in for another just physical, grimy, 10-7 game against Kansas State.
I think Kansas State is really good.
I think they are too, but I think they are beatable.
Any team is beatable, but you know what? Yeah. Kleiman.
Any team is beatable nowadays.
Yeah, Kleiman's been there for a couple of years now, and he's a really good coach. You know, he didn't have all that success at North Dakota State for nothing, you know. And I think he's finally got his guys there, and it's starting to show. They beat Stanford. They beat a good Nevada team this week. I'm worried. I'm worried about that game big time. I'm like, I'm worried that's going to be like a 48-21 loss for Oklahoma State.
I don't think it's going to be 48-21. I think that, well, the what's weird is that Vegas has made the Cowboys a 6-point favorite right now.
That's crazy to me. Like, I would.
In what world? I don't get it.
I mean, I have a rule. I never bet against Oklahoma State. But if I didn't have that rule, I'd be taking those points.
That might be free money. Because right now, I'm going anywhere between like 3 and 7 points either side. Because I think, well, A, I think that both offenses and defenses kind of match up perfectly. I think they're just both similar teams because the defense is physical. I think there's an advantage with Oklahoma State because they faced Will Howard before. They faced him last year. Mm-hmm. So I think how much of a factor is that going in? Because you still have to face Deuce Vaughn, who's incredible. So, and I don't fully believe in the passing game of Kansas State. I'll look at their numbers real quick, but they're averaging 148.3 passing yards per game.
Wow. They must be all on the ground then, because they've been putting up, they were averaging over 30 points a game.
Well, yeah, they're averaging 31 points per game flat. OSU is averaging 24. Their defense is slightly better. They don't allow a lot of rushing yards. So 54.7 rushing yards per game. So that might be something to where they might have to look through the air a little bit. But let me take a I think Kansas State is good. I think they're right where they're at, but I also think that their game against OSU is going to be very competitive. Yeah, they scored 27, 31, and 38 in three games. So
yeah, I mean, back down there. The big thing, though, I think the big takeaway from Boise is we can at least run the ball. Yeah, we ran it a lot, but you know, even without that big run, Warren had over would have had around 150 yards, and compared to the struggles we've had, that's a good sign. So maybe we can run the ball, which hopefully opens up the passing game.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, and the hope is also that your receivers come back. Tay Martin, Jaden Bray come back. Right. And also you kind of hope Desmond Johnson comes back. Cause he'll be helpful, I think.
Helpful, yes. A scholarship wide receiver will be very helpful. So what do you think? Like, let's shift gears a little bit. The Big 12 is interesting looking right now. Oklahoma does not look like what I thought they were going to look like. They should have absolutely rolled Nebraska and didn't. They're still number three, number four in the country, but that's just because they haven't lost yet. But they feel really vulnerable, and maybe they'll hit stride and be able to do, you know, Oklahoma things. But, you know, West Virginia, big win over Va Tech this week. They're looking really good. Like we said, K-State, you know, it's not, I mean, Iowa State's already lost. It is not what I expected coming into the season. That's for sure. Going into conference play.
Yeah. It feels pretty open, but I think OU's going to be fine. Cause what's going to happen is they're probably going to, this is just me guessing, they will lose to Kansas State. They will come into the Red River rivalry storming mad. And then they're going to win that game. And they're just going to bulldoze through the rest of the season. That's what I think is going to happen, because I think they're kind of like Oklahoma State. I think they kind of sleptwalked through the season.
Maybe Rattler's not looking real sharp. You know, I mean, that's just, I don't know. That's just kind of how it is. You know, like they're just not looking sharp. They are not the well-oiled machine that I'm used to seeing. You know, next weekend for them, it's a night game in Morgantown. That's a tough place to play. Like, I could see them dropping that game to West Virginia.
That game's at home. That game's at home for OU.
Oh, is it? I looked at the schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a night game at Norman.
Oh man.
I think that game will be tough, but I also think Nebraska was very motivated to play that game. I think that they wanted to prove themselves, and to somewhat of a degree, they did. I think they got the point across that, hey, we're not like – we don't necessarily suck. I think, like, give us more credit. but, yeah, I think that – I think the line is 16.5. I take West Virginia with that. Is I think it really it'll be close. That big? Yeah.
I mean, you take out
16.5.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Nebraska by 7 and Tulane by 5. I mean, if you take out Western Carolina, which they beat by 76, you know, that's other than that, they have not looked that impressive against bad teams. And so that'd be interesting to see. They got a rough stretch, you know, they.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but most of their big games are at home this year. I mean, obviously Texas isn't, but they got West Virginia at home, DC at home, Tech at home, and Iowa State at home. That's a good draw for the schedule to have those teams come.
I think because Tulane wasn't home, I think they only have like 4 road games this year.
It wasn't supposed
4 true road games.
Right. It wasn't supposed to be in Norman, but because of the hurricane. Yeah. So, yeah, I remember one year, like Ohio State only had like 3 1 year. It was crazy.
Yeah. It is super weird. And I think we thought that would provide some advantage, and it still might.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting college football season. Like, it's like the second most FCS wins over FBS opponents in like ever. There's 10 FCS schools have won against FBS schools this season, which I thought was really interesting because, you know, just. That's something that never used to happen. It was an aberration. Now it's happening every week, and that's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, I think right now, college football is wide open. I think that Alabama is probably the most vulnerable it's been since probably 2019 when they lost Tua. Clemson didn't look that great. Georgia, I think that Georgia looks pretty good. Ohio State has its questions, and they already lost this season. Oklahoma has its questions. Penn State, maybe. Maybe they overtake Ohio State in the Big Ten. I kind of like Penn State coming out of the Big Ten, to be honest. I like what they bring. I think they might come out of the Big Ten West instead of Ohio State, but we'll see.
That'd be something. Granted, having lived in Pennsylvania for a long time, like I kind of hate Ohio or Penn State just because their fans are annoying. But they do look really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I can think of another reason to hate Penn State, but
that too.
I'll just leave it there. Man, oh man. Yikes.
Yeah. So some big stuff, a couple of rumors that have been floating around is that the Oklahoma State president was actually on the road with the team talking to the Boise State president about joining the Big 12.
Man, we don't need to do this. We don't need to do, like, come on.
We're going to 16, man. It's happening.
The Big 12 is a sinking boat, but it's like, hey guys, we got some new paint on it. Like, it's sinking still.
But the other part that was interesting about it is that a lot of Pac-12 teams, depending on what ESPN does for their Pac-12 deal, they're also thinking about jumping ship. So we might
take those teams. Take Arizona. Take the Arizona schools. Take Colorado again. I mean, look, it's a free win. But I mean, adding those Pac-12 teams, add Utah in there to magnify the holy war, put them in the same conference.
Yeah,
like if you could steal some of the Pac-12 schools, that's so beneficial. If you could do that, either merge with them or steal them.
I mean, if you could get Utah, the Arizona schools, and maybe if you could snag one of the real big brands like USC, kind of thing, that would be just incredible, right? Because USC is going to move the needle. You know, they got a lot of eyeballs. Yeah. Oregon's going to move the needle for you. I mean, I hate the idea of having like true West Coast time zone games, like I've already said, but I mean, that's, if you can do that, that would make sense. And maybe they use Boise sort of a bridge school for sports.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel sorry for the kids at this point. They're going to be traveling all over the place. Even in the new Big 12, they're going to be traveling all over.
Mountain time's not terrible. It's just an hour. I think I did that one for West Virginia, and I think maybe Iowa. But I think it'll be fine. They're going to be fine.
But I'm saying, but we're going to be stretching from West Virginia to Utah. That's a lot of miles.
Sea to shining sea, baby. That's just how it works. And just, we're just going to, you know what? This is what the Big 12 should do. They should just conquer all coast. Just have every team in every time zone and just don't become the Big 12. Just become the big conference.
The big conference.
Because at that point, if we have 20 teams, we're the big conference. Because we got so many teams.
The super pods. Five team pods.
No. We're going to expand to 36. We got 16 pods. 1 and 2 face each other. 3 and 4 face each other. And 5 and 6 face each other. And then all three teams face off.
We're going to get so big, we're going to have a playoff for the conference.
Yes. We will basically be in the 70s. There was like all those independents. The Big 12 is just going to be a holding like area for independent schools. It's just so big.
But, you know, this kind of reminds me of the last big restructuring of the conferences. The ACC was basically dead. And then they managed to convince everyone to give up their grant of rights for a long time. And then Clemson got good and saved the conference. Like, the ACC was basically dead for football. I think really one of the only things that held it together was basketball. But, you know, maybe this is what happens. Maybe the Big 12 is basically dead. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're the new big thing.
What does the Big 12 have to offer? Because they don't really have like a signature sport like the SEC does with football and did with basketball.
Maybe we're the best basketball. We're one of the best, if not the best basketball conference in the country right now.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, when you think of basketball, you think of like the Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, like those schools. You could say that's it's a good conference, but when you think of like college basketball, you think of those ACC schools, not necessarily those Big 12 schools. Kansas might sneak in there, but not necessarily.
Kansas is definitely a blue blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I agree. But hey, I mean, right now, the Big 12 is making more money than the Pac 12 is. And granted, that a lot of that's because of Texas and OU. But if they can keep that up, if you're a Big 12 school and you can get a $10 million a year raise, why not? Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Yeah. It is all about the money. But I find it funny that the Big 12 needs like eight other schools to make up the money for two schools.
Is that not wild? I mean, Texas is huge. I mean,
I know.
It's the largest athletic budget in the country. They have the second largest endowment in the nation, right behind Harvard. I mean, they got so many, like, they are so big. Like, it's something like, even I didn't even realize just how monstrous they are until this really started. I knew they were huge and a big brand, but I mean, they're huge. They're the Dallas Cowboys of college football. I mean, everybody either loves or hates them one way or the other, you know?
Yeah. They are that polarizing, and they're also, are they stuck in 2005, I guess?
Yeah. Vince Young is still running on him somewhere.
Yeah, they made a whole network dedicated to the 2006 Rose Bowl. That's what that is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think one thing that could help the Pac-12 is, yeah, there is a West Coast. There is an issue being on the West Coast because a lot of people don't watch their games because, you know, they kick off at 10 or 11 o'clock on the East Coast, right? And there's a lot of people on the East Coast, so maybe having games in the Central or even Eastern time zone every year would be good for them to get some more exposure. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe going to West Virginia and Cincy every year, or every other year, or whatever, would be good for just exposure and like help them out.
Well, you know how beneficial that Oregon game was for Ohio, or for that Ohio State game was for Oregon? That was huge.
It was
There
huge.
were recruits just shocked of how good Oregon was and how physical they are. Like, I love, and also I love Pac-12 After Dark. I was watching that after the OSU game, so I didn't mind the 8 o'clock kick, because I guess because the game was like just like over 3 hours,
It
because it
was a
was a
pretty.
relatively quick game.
Well, you run the ball as much as we do. The clock's going to keep running.
I assume like 15 years, I'm like, oh, it sucks, but we'll see.
Mean, I haven't watched a night Pac-12 game in a while because just generally by the time that rolls around, like, I mean, granted, you know, I was married for a long time, so generally by, you know, 11 o'clock at night, me and the wife want, you know, do other things, but yeah, so I haven't watched a Pac-12 game, like a night Pac-12 game in a long time.
I didn't know we were gonna do that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that. That was
Hey
did not
man,
expect that at all.
priorities.
Man. But looks like the Baylor game is gonna be at 6 o'clock next week on ESPN2.
Where
That's
are they
something.
playing?
That's at
Oh.
OSU. But that is that's something. That's another 6 o'clock kickoff. So,
So
doing the
yeah, it's a lot of
math,
night games.
3 6 o'clock kickoffs, 1 11 o'clock, 1 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's the math right there. So,
Well,
I don't know.
the next two games are both night games. KSU
Yeah.
7 and so's Baylor. So 7 East Coast.
Yeah, six
And
Central, 7 East Coast. Yeah.
I know OU is upset because we have more night games than they do.
Oh man.
I
Well,
love it.
they got the 2:30 game against K-State, so it's not on 11 o'clock. And also, I mean, the reason why that Nebraska game was at 11 o'clock is because Nebraska isn't that good. Like, it's not on them, it's not on you, it's on them.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're so salty about 11 a.m. kickoffs. Like, 11 a.m. kickoffs aren't the worst thing in the world.
I mean,
Like, I get it if they have like, I think like 8 of their games last year were 11 o'clock kickoffs, but guess what? You have the rest of the day to do whatever. It's kind of convenient. I'm not gonna lie to you.
yeah, I mean, well, I'll tell you, as a fan, my favorite was that 2:30 kickoff. Like,
I love the 2:30
you
kickoff.
sleep in, you wake up at 11, go get some lunch. You know, by the time the game's over, it's time to go to get dinner. Like, it's just like a perfect. And
Yes.
especially in the fall, it's sunny and it's cool, and
Yes.
the weather's perfect in Stillwater in like November, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I loved it. But
Yeah,
that, like, that is my
absolutely.
absolute favorite.
2:30 is the best time for a kickoff. I 100% agree.
Right, so let's wrap a few things up before we get out of women's soccer team 5-3-1 heading into Conso. Good for them. They've got a chance to be good this year, if I understand. And if you're in the Austin area, the Big 12 Women's Soccer Championship is in Round Rock, which is a really fun little town. And it's like 45 minutes. It's not even that far north of Austin, but it's close to Austin. So if you're in the area or just feel like going, you know, that's a good time. What's crazy? So this is something that's kind of crazy. So I was looking at the golf rankings today. Oklahoma State's number one, OU's number two, and Texas is four. So we got three Big 12 teams in the top four, and Pepperdine, who is Pepperdine
The
is all
national champion.
yeah. So that's crazy that, you know, Oklahoma is just running like the Big 12 golf right now. And then, you know, the women's team is doing really good, but in Texas is almost always good. But it's crazy that we've got three teams in the top four.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a big golf area all of a sudden. I mean, I think what helps is the wind, because they have to play against the wind like every day. So
Yeah,
I
I
think that
mean,
helps.
well, and Carson Creek is that's a pro level course.
Yeah.
Be more
I
than a
have
lot
not
of.
been there yet because I'm bad at golf, but one day.
I've never got to play there, but I've gone there just to see it because it is kind of it's really cool because it's sort of a mini Oklahoma State Museum for golf. So highly recommend it, but it is, I mean, it's a very, very hard course. It's definitely more than what a lot of other schools play on. there's a reason that, like, it seems like every third or fourth year it's a, like the NCAA golf championships in Stillwater.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of years ago. Yeah, it's a quality course from what I've heard. I think also with soccer, I mean, right now they're like the third best team behind like TCU and West Virginia. I think they have to go to TCU and they have to go to West Virginia. So their two toughest games are away. So that'll be a little tough.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, they've been doing pretty well the last couple of years. They've run at least one Big 12 title in the last couple of years. And mm-hmm. yeah, so go Cowgirl Soccer. Oh man, still got this cough hanging around. It's killing me. You're about to have it for a couple of weeks.
I'm trying to like contain my cough, to be completely honest with you. I'm just like holding it in. Like it's not fun.
All right. So it is Monday. So let's wrap up the show with your hot take. What's your hot take either from last weekend or this upcoming weekend? Like what's something that you're going to like, this is your hot take for the week. Mine is that one of the top three teams in college football will lose next weekend.
Oh, do you know which one?
I'm kind of feeling Bama. Not going to lie. Kind of thinking it's going to be Bama just because they, you know, they're very good, but it feels like those players are starting to be just like, we're Bama, we're going to win. Like they don't have that same, I don't know, Nick Saban normal level of intensity.
Very good. It's fine. I'm sorry. So we can edit this out. For quarantine, I went back home because my family got COVID like a month back. So they still got like the antibodies, I guess. So that's okay, where I'm at right
so
now.
So I take it back. It's not going to be Bama because they're playing.
Yeah, I was about nobody. To say.
If they were playing Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss is going to be really good. Like I would be.
That's what I
would
was not be thinking.
I would not be shocked if Ole Miss beats Bama.
That's where I'm kind of at too. That Ole Miss game is going to be very tough, but I think they might be prepared for that. I don't know, but we'll see. And then I think my hot take for the week is that I think NC State's going to – I think NC State might upset Clemson.
Wow, that would be something.
Because it's at NC State, which is why I'm pretty confident. They haven't looked good on the offensive side of the ball.
They have not,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what NC State does.
I mean, eventually, because you know, these guys have all had these great quarterbacks, right? You know, OU had this string of quarterbacks. You know, obviously, Bama had their string of quarterbacks. Same with Clemson. Like, at some point, you just miss. And I think that's starting to catch up to a lot of teams that they've eventually either – especially because of the transfer portal, people can move. And I think that's just – all of that's starting to catch up to people. I really do.
I got one more take. SMU might beat TCU.
Ooh.
I think SMU might upset the Horned Frogs.
That'd be something.
I like the Mustangs. Did you see that Hail Mary they had? It was pretty good. They got Tanner Mordecai and Grant Calcaterra, former OU guys. I think they look I think they look a little better than what they're expected to. I think they might pull it off. They might take the Iron Skillet.
The Iron Skillet, is that what the trophy?
That's what that rivalry is called. Yeah, the Battle of the Iron Skillet.
I did not realize that. That's funny.
Oh, dude. I might send you a picture of the trophy because I think it's literally a frying pan. Yeah. Hold on.
It is a giant cast iron frying pan. Oh, that's stupid.
College
football is the best.
It is what makes college football great. There's just a whole that's a cast iron skillet, and it's great. That's college football, man.
I know, I love it. So Ian, thanks for coming out as always. Listeners,
of course.
You can always find me on Twitter if that's your thing, at @JacobIngles. Obviously, check out the website, Cowboys Ride for Free. Hit up Ian's Twitter. Yeah, so anytime you want to interact with us, just hit us up, and we'll be more than happy to do, you know, read your questions and answer those or whatever.
We do have a podcast Twitter that's kind of under construction, but yeah, it is. It's there, Ingles and Ian. Yeah. You could just find it on there. I think we both follow it, but we'll need to post some stuff on there soon. So
yeah, for sure,
just need to find the right stuff.
All right, and we'll see y'all on Thursday.